Hey everyone, welcome to our final Between Seasons bonus episode of the Tension Podcast. We are a show that acknowledges most of life and faith is lived in the tension between the two extremes. Each episode, we look at what many of us were taught growing up in evangelical churches. We weigh it against what our current culture is saying, and we try to find what Jesus has for us in the tension between the two. If we haven't met, my name is Jonathan Curlin, and we're joined as always by our co-host, Mr. Eric Williams. Eric, go ahead and say hey to the people.
What's up? I feel like, you know, I'm a baseball fan, so I like this because it's like as soon as I get through the winter doldrums of sports where the Super Bowl's done, I'm not really into the NBA, and they're like pitchers and catchers are reporting, spring training is starting. It's like, yes, it's not quite the same as the regular season, but I'm like, I'm getting excited for it. So to hear that we're on our last special episode, as much as I like the special episodes, it's like the season is coming. I'm ready to go. So we might be a little rusty, but yeah, you know, we'll get through it.
Side note, I think I've mentioned on here before, but I'm the PA announcer for my local high school baseball team. And we're recording this about a week or so before we're releasing it. And last night was our first home game. It was 41 degrees by the time that game was over. Mm. So baseball and spring training in warm areas like you, mm-hmm. sure. Baseball last night, I couldn't feel my toes.
Yeah, you know, but it's kind of a little weird for you to be like, I live in a warm area when you live in the Carolinas, man. It's supposed to be warm.
It was 41 degrees. I'm still thawing out. But hey, like we mentioned in the open, we're going to get the show announcement out of the way. This is our final Between Seasons bonus episode. Our next season is going to start on Easter Monday, which is August or April the 1st. If I was more clever than I am, I probably would have planned some type of funny April Fool's show that day. But it's actually going to be a normal, non-political episode of the podcast. So we're excited to get back into some normalcy. Before we get into today's topic, if you like the show, please leave us a rating wherever you listen or watch. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would be a huge help if you wrote up a small review there. We got one last month. We would love a couple more this month as well. Now, for today's show. Today is going to be a little different because there's not really a true tension we're talking about. You know, I could probably force one in there if I wanted to force something into that box. But what I wanted to talk about today is something I've been learning recently and have a conversation around that. If you're new with us, back in November, we did an episode about mental health and anxiety where I shared some stuff I'd been experiencing for a few months. It's also what led to us not doing a normal season in January and February like we typically do, but instead do these bonus episodes. As time's gone by, my ability to handle my anxiety has gotten better. It hasn't gone away. The anxiety is still there, but I've learned new tools to handle it and how to process it. And there have been some good mental health tools. So I truly encourage everyone to talk with a therapist if you're experiencing those things. But today, this is not to poop on mental health tools. I do want to focus on a spiritual discipline that I've picked up over the last few months. So we do talk a lot about mental health around here, about how good therapy is and counseling. So I don't want to like throw that aside, but I do want to focus on a spiritual discipline for a few minutes.
Okay. I want to make sure the listeners know this too, is you said like, this was the reason why we went to it was one of the reasons, you know what I mean? And so we had a number of different reasons for that. And I'm glad to see that there's this thing that doesn't really happen in the church a lot, which I think that's part of like the understood tension we are assuming here, is that when mental health issues come up, kind of a refresh of a previous episode, when mental health issues come up like this, either we are trained not to identify it, right? So it's anxiety pops up, or there's some sort of trigger that pops up, or you notice that something is off, immediately we go into the shame trigger of, well, you know, you just need to man up, Jonathan, right? Or Eric, you just need to like get over it. Stop being a wimp, right? You know, anything like that. Or your life's not that bad, or blah, 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 blah. So, but the fact that, you know, we can help other people recognize and realize that maybe some of that was unhealthy or is unhealthy based on our religious upbringing and moving forward with it in a positive way, it's okay to say, I need a break. And in fact, like for many of you, we've talked about my son, my oldest son. You know, he's on the autism spectrum and he's got a lot of social emotional issues that he still deals with today. And we made him up these, if you're watching us on YouTube, we made him up these little silicone bracelets that say, ask for a break. Because literally he at times he gets to the point where his brain is overwhelmed with either anxiety or triggers or sensory issues or anger, whatever it happens to be. And he has to be reminded to like, bro, it's okay to ask for a break. And it's like, man, we're doing this for a sixth grader, a 12-year-old, but how many of us as adults need to be like, it's okay when something like that happens to step back and ask for a break. So I'm fully in support. I just want to make sure that that's said again for anybody that might be popping into this without hearing the context.
I appreciate that. That was a good little add in that wasn't planned. So today is going to be a little different. I'm going to share a little bit about what I'm learning. Eric's going to ask questions. We're going to have a conversation about that. So the whole teaching environment that we can sometimes get in here, the history, there's none of that today. It's just a conversation about mental health, spiritual disciplines, and some stuff that I've been learning that I hope can help you. So the backstory is back in December, I was dealing with some extended family issues. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm the type of person that when I see a problem, I want to fix the problem. I am smart enough and resourceful enough to be able to fix most things that I encounter. But as all of you know, because you're adults, family makes things messy. So there was one night in December struggling to sleep because I couldn't turn my brain off. It was just, I was in a cycle of like thinking about what needed to be done to fix the situation and playing out all the different scenarios for how it could go in my head so that I was prepared when I went to fix the situation and knew what to do no matter what happened. Once I had played out all the different scenarios I could think of and still couldn't sleep, I decided that it might be a good thing to like, you know, pray about it. Like as weird as that may sound, like I didn't go there first. I tried to do it on my own and I'm like, maybe I should pray about this. And then as I was praying about everything going on, and really when I say pray, I was just dumping all of my thoughts on God as if he wasn't present there when I was thinking about them 5 minutes before. But in the midst of my dumping on him, I felt like he did this. That was a really, really bad phrasing.
You've had a couple of gems so far that I haven't called out, but.
No, I've seen your face.
You know, that's why YouTube is the way to go here. So.
Hey, you said rusty. We're spring training. We're knocking the rust off. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some thank God we're not in youth group anymore because.
Yep. Keep forcing that in that box again. Keep forcing it in the box. That's what I shove it in the box.
Yep. Uh-huh. Sometimes, never mind. Nope, not going there. Anyways, as I was praying and just telling God all my problems, I felt like he did that thing where, Eric, we'd probably do this to each other all the time. We do it to friends, where you interrupt someone who just won't shut up. And it's like God stopped me in my yammering with a soft, simple, be still and know that I am God. Like, he tapped me on the shoulder and was like, hey, Jonathan, be still and know that I'm God. And being a typical dude, a typical person who likes to fix things, I didn't think that idea was enough. It was too simple. So I immediately went back to, yeah, God, and that's cool, but what about this? And if that happens, how do I, and then what do I, and then where do we, and the cycle began all again, to which it was the exact same response. Be still and know that I am God. And it wasn't in this mean-spirited or annoyed way. It wasn't like he's like, Jonathan, you freaking idiot, shut up, be still and know that I am God. It was, you know, there are times when your kids are in the middle of whining about something and they're telling you all the reasons why they can't do something or something's going on.
I'm a much better parent. And Jonathan and my children are angels and they are never whiners. So I have no idea what you're talking about, but go ahead, you know, enlighten me for those that don't know.
You know, when you're in your good parenting mode, when you're not, wait a minute,
what's that? Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
When you're sensory, you're not in sensory overload. Like when you can just look at them and calmly tell them to chill the F out. Because while what they feel like is a really giant thing that they can't reach the chips on the top shelf and they're freaking out about it, that's not really an issue to me because I'm 3 feet taller than they are. And I felt like in the midst of that prayer, that was God.
So I gotta bring up this example because this is true too. Like I always use it like when I'm talking with my wife or anything else like that, when it's these sort of situations of like, for those of you that still actually have like a regular TV without streaming services and stuff like that, and you're on DVR and you like DVR a sporting event, like you know what's gonna happen in the end. You know who's gonna win, and you're in the middle of it, and it's like your favorite team is losing or it doesn't look like it's gonna go well. And there's that anxiety. But the person who knows the end of the game, the score at the end, isn't worried necessarily because you know the end. Then last night, we were watching Apollo 13 for the first time because we'd like recently gotten into a couple of different like NASA space documentaries. And my youngest, he's 11, you know, we're in the middle of this. And it's like, spoiler alert, I mean, for, you know, if you know the story of Apollo 13, right? Sorry, they all live, you know what I mean? But he's in the middle and there's the one scene when they're like, all right, they're coming back into the atmosphere and the heat shield has been this and the angle is wrong and this and that. And they're talking about how they might actually die. And, you know, and it's like, and he goes, Daddy, do they all live? And like my wife's sitting next to me, she knows they all live. And there's this 3 minutes of radio silence. And if they don't answer in 3 minutes, then, you know, we'll have our answer. 4 minutes go by. And like, I look over to my right and my wife is tearing up. You know, she's just like, well, you know, and my son is gripped and it's like, yeah, we're still stuck in this emotion, even though you know what the answer is at the end. You know that they live. I've seen the movie a billion times. So has my wife. And I told my son, like, they live. Like, they're fine. They are going to be okay in the movie and in real life. But you're like, I found myself going, breathing a little heavy because even though you know the answer, you know the outcome, the drama of the situation still grips you a bit.
Yeah, and in life, even when you know that God is there and God has it in control, like one of my favorite quotes, I think I've said it on here before, is sometimes we're too emotionally invested in our own lives to realize what God's trying to do. And in that case, that's exactly what I was. And it was one of those things where I had a former pastor who was also my boss. A thing that he said all the time was that God is a good dad. And like he used that exact phrase, a good dad. And when I think about that, like it makes me realize that like he didn't mind me telling him what I was going through. He didn't mind me like dumping all of my anxiety on him because he wanted to hear it. But just like sometimes with our kids who we love, who we want to hear their problems, sometimes we just have to say, chill out and let me fix it because we know we can. I think in this situation, in the most loving way possible, that's what God was trying to tell me. And that night, I remember going to bed, wondering what it felt like to be still and know that he was God, because it was a new idea for me. It's not something I'm used to, but over the last 3 months, anytime my anxiety is hit, especially with these family issues, I've gone back to that same idea, be still and know that I am God. And it has allowed me to have a sense of peace, even when crap was going on around me.
Yeah. You know, and I love that analogy of like, he's a good dad, because like, I'll say that to our youngest a lot because like he does have to deal with quite a bit of stuff, and his brother is neurodivergent and has disabilities. And, you know, even though he's younger, he has to kind of shoulder the burden of being the older brother. Right. And I just always look at him and I you know, and he doesn't get the same things that his brother does and other stuff like that. But I always look at him and say, hey, buddy, you know that we're going to take care of you. Right. And he's like, yeah, you know, so when our oldest gets something that he doesn't, or, you know, gets to do something he doesn't, or, you know, gets more slack than he does because of whatever, I just always look to him and I just say, hey man, I know this is difficult, but you know that we're going to take care of you, right? Like, you know that we love you and we're going to take care of you, right? Just reassuring him. Yeah. And so then, you know, obviously we do special things just for him too, so that way he feels better on those things, and trying to remind him in those situations too, of like, yeah, I know it's tough sometimes when you have to go through whatever it is, you know, whatever difficult situation he feels like he has to go through, even though like, to me at 40 years old, I'm like, yeah, this is very low on the scale of difficult things you have to go through. But I think it's the same thing. You know, it's like when we go through bad times, or not bad times, but tension times and anxious times, times where we're just unsure or it's uncomfortable, having that reliability of having a dad or having God, you know, however you want to refer to it, is like, I'm going to take care of
Daddy God.
Yeah, dad. Oh gosh, no. immediately, no. But having that reassurance of like, I'm going to take care of you, right? It's like, okay, yep, I know that. But I think it also helps in the good times or when things are good to be able to reflect and be like, I know it's difficult when you go through these, you know, valleys or these seasons or insert your Christian buzzword there, but like, I'm going to take care of you. And so it's like, that's the other part that I think sometimes we miss is in the good times, reflecting back and saying, yeah, that was difficult. Yeah. You know, I can look back in the last 3 years of my life. And I mean, like, you know, off air, Jonathan, we've shared a lot of those things. And I'm like, I've gone through some tough times and I'm like, this is terrible. And looking back, it was terrible. And I could still feel some of that emotion, but it's like, I've also gone through some extremely great and fulfilling times where God is going, yeah, you know, I'm going to take care of you, right? It's like, yep.
And the interesting part for me that I have experienced over the last 3 months is every time I've had to remind myself this, like, things haven't worked out the way I thought they would or the way I would have done it. And sometimes they didn't even work out. There have been issues that are still unresolved and probably won't be resolved for quite a while. But I have that comfort and that peace because I've looked through, I mean, I can look back through my whole life at this, but even just the last 2 or 3 months through these specific things, like be still and know that I am God. Okay. Well, I did that and this happened and it worked out pretty well. I did it again and this happened. And I mean, it could have been better, but the peace I had through it was solid. And so that idea, I'm still trying to learn it, but it has led to some new experiences. And it has led to a slightly different view of things that I'm still in the messy middle of figuring out, but I wanted to share because of how the word I keep coming back to is freeing, how freeing they have been for me as someone who is dealing with this type of anxiety for the first time, or at least recognizing this type of anxiety for the first time. I'm sure I've dealt with it before. But the whole idea of be still and know that I'm God started as a way to get past my anxiety, but it has come with a new freedom in my relationship with Jesus. And here's what I mean by that. For many of us who grew up in evangelical spaces, we've been told over and over all the things we need to be doing for Jesus. We have to serve in the church. We have to share our faith. We have to volunteer our time. We have to do fill in the blank here with whatever the thing is you were told you have to do. And while it usually wasn't explicitly said at the time, so much of the language around those things implied that God needed us to do them or the gospel wouldn't be advanced. We would say things like, if not now, when? And if not me, then who? And those have some biblical principles there, but so much of this was, in my opinion, cloaked in an overemphasis on urgency. We have to do it now. The time is now. It has to be done. Go, 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 go. But as I've truly started to understand and live out this be still and know that I am God idea, I've realized that God doesn't need me to do all those things. He can accomplish every single thing he wants to accomplish without me ever doing a single thing. But because he is a good dad, he wants to do it with us. I can go to the grocery store every single week by myself, get it done quicker, easier, and less stressful than when my 7-year-old son goes with me. But man, he loves walking around the grocery store with me. And so when he has to go to the grocery store with me, I'm going to let him come with me. Like, he doesn't have to go with me, but he gets to go with me. And I think it's like, for me being in the church communications world, there's been this cliched overemphasis on how we get to do things instead of having to do things. But I've never experienced the get to idea in the same way that I do now, that I've been learning this be still and know that I'm God idea. Like, I don't have to, like, Owen doesn't have to go to the grocery store with me. He gets to go to the grocery store with me, and he has so much fun while doing it. And taking that, and he gets to be a kid walking through a grocery store, cause he knows I'm going to pick everything out. I'm going to pay for it all. I'm going to put it in the car. So he just gets to go and hang out with his dad. And applying that feeling to all of these spiritual principles of things we were told to do lets me view them in a totally different way than I have before.
Yeah. And, cue the theme music for Eric's political rant, in a non-political episode, but that would be the other side of it, is like, how often do we, as the Christian religious establishment, name whatever you want to name, preach on one hand, be still and know that I'm God. God is good. God has got everything in control. And if you even read, you know, that Psalm 46 passage in context, it's basically like talking about all of the things that God has done. He is our refuge. He is our strength. It's like, look at all these wars that have happened, and then he is going to stop them. He's going to be in charge, right? He's going to be exalted. He is going to be like he's going to win. You just need to kind of pull your head out of your butt and figure that out. And then on the same side, and the same from the same pulpit, we talk about what we need to do to make sure that, the right political party is in power, or the right, issue is put forth. Am I saying like, don't, vote or be a good citizen or encourage? No, but just like you said, it's like, we don't have to be so rabid about these things. If you start turning into a weird psychopath to try and get your way or what you think God wants in your life, that's not the be still and know side. That's not the, that's different than going and saying, okay, I'm going to vote my conscience, or I'm going to live a certain way. And at the end of the day, I'm going to be still, and I'm going to know that God is in charge. He's going to be exalted, and he's got me. And, kind of what I say to my son, it's like, I'm going to take care of you, right? Yep, right. But when I'm going like,
no, we got to get the illegals out of here, and we got to make sure that we pack the courts, and oh my gosh, and if we don't with the liberal elites, then they're going to crush our country. Ah!
You're like, that's not very be still of you there, boo-boo. But let's just kind of be still and know here.
And what I like about this idea is what you're living through and what's pressing on you currently, the political climate of today, and what has been pressing on me, the anxiety of family related things that have been blowing up my world. Both of those things, wildly different, not related at all, but the same principle can be applied to them that instantly brings the temperature down of how important the thing is that we're feeling it is. Because like the quote I mentioned earlier, we are so emotionally invested in these things, we don't see what God's trying to do, or we don't realize that he is in control. We say we know he is, but our actions speak so much louder than what we say we believe.
Yeah. And let me just go into this real still, quick. Or go ahead if you want to finish that. But I have
Go for it.
So, like I said, with my oldest son, he's on an IEP. For those of you that have kids in special ed, whether, they have an IEP for gifted or they have an IEP for anything else like that, right? We have had to fight literally like almost every year in every single school, every school district. And if I remember back to when he was in kindergarten and we were in a different school district in a different state than we are right now, we learned a lot about that process. We learned a lot about that process, but it created a lot of anxiety. And the bottom line, similar to my analogy of the sporting event or, you know, or Apollo 13 or anything else like that, there's this bit of, I know what my legal protections are under the law for my child in his education. But yet the school district is trying to do X, Y, and Z, and it's creating a lot of anxiety. It's creating a lot of stress. And, you know, again, in past times, I don't want to defame anybody here now, but like my wife and I would have different reactions. She would get very anxious and she would get very like upset and, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? And what's going to happen? What's everything like that? And in most of these situations, I was in the be still mode because I'm like, I know this is illegal. They can fight all they want, but I know that this is illegal and I know that we're going to get our way. I know that we're going to be able to, you know, move through and we've got another thing that we can do. And so rather than me getting all upset about it, or rather than me getting anxious about it, rather than me, you know, worrying and losing sleep, it was like, it was just so refreshing after we'd gone through a couple of these pieces to go like, I know what the end is going to be like. I know how this is going to resolve. It may take longer than we think, and it may be uncomfortable, and it may take, you know, some doing and some everything else like that. So it's still going to take work. I think be still and know is still taking work. Because Jonathan, I would say over the past 3 months, you've still done work in these situations, and you might have gone to therapy or gotten medicine or done, you know, breathing techniques or changed diet or habits. You've done work, but your mentality, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's probably the same as us. It's like, our mentality changes where it's like, okay, you know, it's like your kids, they can whine, they can cry, everything they want to do. But it's like, at the end of the day, I know you're going to bed. At the end of the day, you're going to go to sleep. Like, you're tired and you've got all this stuff and it's going to piss me off. And I know when I'm in a healthy spot, I can just kind of be still and know that that in this house, I am God. That's not true. You know, like, but like at the end of the day, yeah, buddy, you can whine and complain all you want, but I know at the end of the day, you're going to go into that bed. And the door is going to be shut and you will go to sleep, right? It may be uncomfortable. And I think that's the point that we always miss. Be still and know that I'm God. Doesn't mean it's not going to be uncomfortable. You know, we were just talking too. I've got a ton of analogies here. I don't want to put your life on blast, but you just got some ink, right? Go ahead and show YouTube. You got a sleeve. It's like, and you were just telling me how hard it was to sleep and some other uncomfortabilities, things like that. It's like, it's
like 2 days ago, by the way. This was 2 days ago.
It's fresh.
7 hours.
Fresh ink.
The plastic's still on it. Can you see the plastic? Yeah.
Yeah. So like nobody is saying that process is going to be easy or that process will not hurt or there will not be struggle through that process. But I think anybody who's had a tattoo before, I mean, you know, your situation is like, okay, I know I'm going to be still because I know, even though it's uncomfortable now, I know it's not going to be this way forever. And I think that that's part of the principle is going that way rather than, because I think like you can tell me, hey, buddy, this, I was up all night and this hurt and it's itchy. And I'm not going to go, well, suck it up, Jonathan. I'm going, yeah, that does suck, right? Or like, yeah, I get it. That's uncomfortable. I've got my tattoo. Like, I get it. I know how that can feel. I also know that it's not going to be that way forever. I don't need to tell you that, but it's like, we can have those moments where it's like, this current situation sucks, but I also know it's not going to be this way forever.
Yeah. And it takes a level of trust that can only be developed over time and with experience. And what I mean by experience is like, you have to push against it. You have to actually try it or else like, I can't tell you to just be still and know that he is God and say, hey, that's going to work the first night. The first time you deal with anything after listening to this podcast episode, everything's going to be fine. If you just think about that, which I think, in our American churches, the way our sermons are written, that's the vibe that's given off. If you'll just do this, things will get better. If you just believe this, it'll fix itself. And what we don't say from the stage is, yes, this is a principle, but you're going to have to do it over and over and over before it takes. Like, when I go to the gym, the first time I do something is not going to be as good as the fourth time I do it. I can't lift as heavy the first time I do something as if as I can 12 weeks from now after I go through an entire lifting program and I have built up to something. It takes time of trying it over and over and over in different ways. You start at a lower weight and then you build up to the heavier stuff. And so I'm not telling you, you just lost your job. Your world's falling apart. You're about to lose your house. Be still and know that he's God's going to fix that tomorrow. It might. I mean, God can do that. Won't he do it? Won't he do it, Eric? Won't he do it? But he could. But knowing human psychology and knowing the way we're wired, it's not going to help tomorrow completely. But there will be little things throughout the process that it's like, oh, yeah, okay. I recognize that. I recognize that as well. And for me, the biggest change probably is what all of this has led for me is this newfound desire and awareness for contentment and just simply being content. And, you know, I like to define things. And so as I've gone through this process, I'm like, I just kept feeling the word content. And so I looked up what the definition of contentment is. And it's a state of happiness and satisfaction. And what I have realized is when I am focused on be still and know that I am God, I still experience all the same things as before. I still experience the anxiety. I still experience the desire to be liked, the pressures to achieve, all of those things. But I don't chase those things anymore. I have the desire. I'm just not going to go chase them out. When I slow down and be still and know that he is God, I know that everything will work out and it's not on me to fix it. When I can be still and know that he is God, I realize that while I want to be liked by people, their approval doesn't bring me satisfaction in the way that God's does. When I am still and know that he's God, I realize that I don't have to build the biggest business or make the most impact because he's God and he's going to do what he wants to do with what I'm able to offer. So it's not about achieving anymore. It's not about chasing anymore. It's being content. And what that looks like in practice for me is not chasing likes on social media. It's not chasing podcast numbers, which a couple years ago, like our numbers are down 50% from where they were 2 years ago. And at the time I was posting on TikTok multiple times per day, trying to be a little edgy, trying to start a conversation so that we could get people into the podcast because I wanted those numbers and the numbers were really good back then. But now, like I know he's God and I'm not. And the people who listen to this are the ones who need to be listening. And if it impacts someone, they're going to share it with a friend. And I'm just going to trust that that's going to happen because he's God and I'm not, and he's going to do his things. Another way that it has changed is not letting the day-to-day issues rile me up the way they did in the past, which you hit on this a minute ago, but that's a big deal in an election year when people are spending tons of money to try and get me riled up. Because I know he's God and he already knows who's going to win every election. He already knows what's going to happen over the next 4 years. Like, I can advocate for the things I think are important, and I think we should advocate for those things, but it's not going to change much. Like, it is what it is. And I that's an over cliched phrase, but at this point, that's just the truth. Ultimately, though, the drive for contentment and being satisfied and being still and knowing that he is God has led to more peace and more freedom in my life, even when the world is going crazy around me.
Yep. Yeah. I think having your insights has been really helpful for me as we've been talking through some of this process as well. And I think one of the things that I've learned through therapy and, you know, not just therapy, but also just I think one of the things the church does really well is like encourages you to get into community. one of the things that in general, my experience with the church has not done well is like get into community and actually be authentic in the community, not like fake authenticity or not like codependent authenticity where I'm just getting into the community, you know, almost like, I know you've never seen this movie, but almost like Fight Club, where Ed Norton's character is like habitually.
I'm a good Christian.
Yeah, I know. Well, sorry, I'm not. Or I definitely wasn't when Fight Club was out. But like Ed Norton's character was habitually going to 12-step program meetings because that was like his fix. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to go to these meetings and I'm going to hear other people suffer. And like, that's going to make me feel better. And it's like, a lot of people are like serial life group attendees. And then we all have been in that group with that person. And if you haven't, it's probably you. The person that's like, hey, how's everybody doing? And you kind of give your thing and you give whatever. And, you know, the shallow, I'm struggling with typical things. Or the person that's like, wow, too blessed to be stressed. That's terrible. But then the other terrible side is the person that's like digging into way too deep on the vulnerability side every single time. And it's like, buddy, what the church doesn't do well is go, we need to off ramp you to a recovery ministry and right. And therapy, right? Like recovery and therapy. So what I've learned through the process too, is like, going through therapy. Also, I was heavily medicated in high school for depression and did not need it for a long time. And I'm back on a couple of those medications and I'm not afraid to admit it. And not a lot of people know about that, but it's like, when you can get out of, and I know your wife is a medical professional. So it's like, I think about the triage side or the ICU side. It's like when I got out of triage, when I was finally out of ICU and now I'm just in a regular hospital bed, there's a different way that we can handle things. And I think when we get into those seasons of life where it's like, oh no, I'm coding here. You know what I mean? Like I need quick triage because I'm bleeding. And I need to stop the bleeding before we can figure out anything else. That might be therapy for you. That might be recovery ministry for you and therapy. That might be therapy and prescribed medication by a professional, not recreational medication by, you know, your crazy uncle that lives in the van on the state park.
Down by the river.
Grounds. Yeah, down by the river. But anyway, in addition to that, what I've realized, Jonathan, and I think I've talked to you about this before, but this was a big one for me, is like growing up, my family experience, by no fault of their own, but just, you know, what I'm realizing, my family experience, being the son of a second generation German immigrant, and a family where humor was kind of the currency, and it felt like real emotion was uncomfortable. And again, I'm not blaming anybody. But like, I was brought up in that and also a church experience where uncomfortable emotions, we needed to stop them as soon as possible. Get over it. Stop your whining. Stop your crying. Right? I'll, for any of you that grew up with this, which I didn't necessarily, it's like, I'll give you something to cry about. Right? Though I've realized that my own emotional reaction to the people around me when things are not going well is difficult, and that's what triggers me. And so when my kids are upset, I want to either get angry and try to get them to stop being upset, or I get depressed thinking I've got to jump in there and fix it. When my wife is upset, same thing. When people around me are upset, that is a triggering situation for me. And I think as the church, it's the same type of thing where it's like, we need to realize and recognize that uncomfortable emotions are okay, and do a little bit more of what, you know, the Jewish tradition of like, they talk about sitting Shiva. You know, it's like when somebody passes away, there's a 7-day period where people will just come and they will literally cry and wail with you and experience those emotions. And then after those 7 days, dust yourself off, we get up and we start moving on. But we give a specific period of time where it's like, live in those emotions and it's all right. And I think as a church, we do a really good job of saying, get into community, but we do a poor job of saying, if you have a bullet wound, it's okay that hurts. And it's okay to seek out professional help. And it's okay, you know, like those things are good. It's like when you're going through the process, we say, be still and know that I'm God, but we don't say, be still, be happy, or be still, get over it, or be still, and all these bad things that are happening aren't going to happen anymore. No, it's like, be still, feel your emotions, understand that the pain is going to happen, but know that it's not going to be that way forever. And don't jump right to the, well, Jonathan, you're not going to hurt forever. Oh, Jonathan, you know this, or your treasure's in heaven, blah, 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 blah. No, Jonathan, I'm sorry that you're going through that right now. And one of the things that I've appreciated from you more than anything else is anytime I've shared something personal from you that sucks, your first reaction, and I mean this heart to heart, your first reaction is always, well, let me stop. Let me just say, that sucks. And I'm sorry you're going through that. And acknowledge that that pain exists. And it's like, that almost helps me more than anything else that could come out. And it's like, hey, let's just be still and let's acknowledge that the pain is happening.
And I think that's like, that's a whole new level to the be still and know that I'm God. Because we can't know that he's God if we don't first stop what we're doing and acknowledge what's going on. And I think for so many of us, we live with this urgency that everything has to get fixed right now. And it's up to us to do it, or it's not going to get done. I don't know if that's a universal feeling to everyone, if that's just people who are wired like you and I. I think it's pretty universal, but stopping to acknowledge that that God is who he is and we are who we are. And in this situation, we're the kid that doesn't have all the answers. We're the kid who can't reach the top shelf. And we have a dad who knows all of those answers, who can reach all of the shelves, who, I mean, this is different topic, different day, but it gets into the idea of how poorly we have done at applying our theology to our regular everyday life. We say we know that God exists outside of time and space and that he knows everything. But when it comes to trusting him and being still and knowing that's who he is, we don't do a very good job of applying that principle to our everyday life. And that's probably the thing I've been working the hardest at doing over the last few months, is applying that idea to every situation that I'm in.
Yeah. And I think that that's the realization of what does be still and know that I'm, and this might be an evaluation for you personally, like for all of you listening, if you journal or if you meditate or whatever, or if you, you know, want to talk to somebody else about it. It's like, what does be still and know that I'm God mean to you? What does that reaction mean to you? And I think when you put that substitute out, like all the times when we say, well, substitute out God for love, right? And like, you know, try to play out, what does that mean? But like, substitute out, what are all of the attributes of God to you? Or what, you know, what are all of the pieces of God's character that when you say, be still and know I'm God, like that should say to you, be still and know that I understand your pain. Be still and know that I know that your pain is valid. Be still and know that I hate that you're going through what you're going through right now. Be still and know that I'm a father that loves you. Be still and know that even though right now you've scraped your knee and you've got a boo-boo, and I know that that's not a really big deal, I'm gonna hug you and I'm gonna love you and I'm gonna give you the little Minions Band-Aid. I'm gonna take you out for ice cream.
It's a big deal to you.
Because it's a big deal to you. And I want to say to those of you like who grew up with a family or with a faith background that be still and know that I'm God meant to you, be still and know that you need to get over it. Be still and know that I'll give you something to cry about. Be still and know that what you're going through right now, you need to put on a good face because you're a pastor's wife. Be still and know that the thing that you're doing right now is not helping forward the kingdom. Be still and know that your depression is ruining your witness. If any of that was the version of be still and know that I am God that you are living with now or that you grew up with, I am sorry and I believe that that's wrong.
That's probably a good place for us to stop this week. So I don't have anything else to add. So
I will add,
we're good.
When you give the contact information, please email us, reach out on social media. For some of you, I know you feel crazy because I've had conversations with you in DMs and other things like that. Like, I know you feel crazy because it feels like you're the only one who's experiencing this, and you are not. And I want you to know that there are other people that have gone through this. We see you. We know what your experience is like. And even if we don't, we can empathize with how bad that hurts. And if you feel like you don't have somebody that you can reach out to, even if, like we've done in the past, if writing a letter to us, but meaning it's the person you need to forgive, or writing a letter to, you know, share with somebody that you were never able to share, if that's going to be empowering to you, like, I can't speak for you, Jonathan, but I know I feel like I can. It's like, send us that letter, send us that email, reach out and share your story. Because I know, Jonathan, you have been an incredible Christian buzzword blessing in my life to be able to, like, reach out and call and be like, hey man, you got 15 minutes, and it ends up being an hour and a half. And, you know, to have somebody to listen where I'm like, I don't feel like I can share this with anybody else. Man, I would love to be that for those of you listening if you need somebody to reach out to. So if you want to get in touch with us, or if you have questions, queue up for Jonathan.
You can email us at hello@tensionpodcast.com. Eric is at EricW712 on all the major platforms. I am at Jonathan_Corone on them. If you go to my page and you see I haven't posted in a while, that's kind of part of this whole contentment thing and not chasing the likes. I've, without telling the world, that took a break. I'm on there every day. I'm reading stuff. I'm commenting stuff. I'm just not posting my stuff because I don't want to chase likes right now. And that's just me. But if you want to send a message, I will be there to read it, and I'll be glad to respond there. If you like the show, do us a favor and rate us and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app if you haven't already. Share this episode with a friend if you think it will help them. We will be back in like 3 weeks, I think it is, with season 10 of the show, and we are so incredibly excited for that. Thank you all. Thank you all for hanging out with us the last 5 months through this little process, and we will see you in a few weeks for our normal 8-week season that may or may not have one political episode, but we'll see. Have a great week.
See ya.